The first reading today is very interesting. Gamaliel, and you know, it depends on who you read, but it's very probable that Gamaliel was the teacher of St. Paul. It is said that Paul was a disciple of one of the greatest rabbis of the time, Gamaliel, and it's probably the same Gamaliel who's mentioned here. And at any rate, we see that Gamaliel basically tries to calm down the leaders among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Should I say here the Sanhedrin, which probably are more Sadducees than Pharisees. And he says to them, now look, he says, you know, if this thing is from God, we're not going to destroy it. And if it's of man, it will work its way out. It will not last. And therefore, it's interesting for us to meditate for a moment on how Gamaliel's statement has come to pass. If this is of God, you will not be able to destroy it. But and you yourself would be fighting against God, he said. And if it's of man, it will not last. Well, it obviously has lasted. Right now, on the planet, there are 1,100,000,000 Catholics. All right, and, there are about several hundred million other Protestants, in other words, it is definitely something which has grown. Not only that, but the miracle, really, that I think is not so much our numbers. Because the Lord never guaranteed that he told us to go out and evangelize the whole world, but he never guaranteed we'd be huge in number or the biggest thing on the planet. In fact, we need to be careful about that norm, because the Lord warns us that that we would often be persecuted and hated, and the world would often hate us. So popularity, shall we say, is not really a very good norm. But nevertheless, it's a very interesting thing to think that these small little band of disciples and an even smaller number of apostles in a little obscure place in the world has gone all throughout the world now and is in every place on the planet and has 1,100,000,000 members. I mean, that's really remarkable when you think about it. It's quite miraculous. But I think the greater... And the greater sign of the miracle of the church is that we have lasted all these years. You know, listen, the Roman Empire is gone now, you know, that was there at the time. The, you know, empires have come and gone. It is said that one day it was said that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Well, now it does. you know, the things wax and wane. Nations have come and gone. World leaders have risen and fallen, and so on. And yet through all of this, you see, the church has remained. And the Lord made a promise regarding the church that the gates of hell would never prevail against the church. Now, that implies they would try, see. And I will not tell you there have not been some very dicey and difficult moments in church history. But really, how long do you think the church would have lasted if it was depending on man? You know, maybe 20 minutes max, right? I mean, it wouldn't have lasted long at all. But what has kept us one and unified and all the way down through these centuries is a very, very powerful work of the Holy Spirit, you see, to unite us and so on. Clearly, now as we get ready for the visit of the Pope, it's very important for us also to see the manner or method, if you will, of unity that the Lord himself set up. He said one day to the apostles, he was speaking to all of them as a group, the Lord wants to, or the devil, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. This is in Luke 22, I believe, at the top of my head. The devil wants to sift you like wheat. That is to say, he wants to divide you. But then, turning to Peter, he says, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that when you have turned back, in other words, remember, he would deny the Lord three times.
So Peter, I pray for you, Peter,
that when you have turned back, you will then strengthen your brethren. So what was the Lord's solution to the disunifying forces of the devil? He would take one man and pray for him. And if you will, make him the source of unity because of those prayers. Not because Peter was so great, he was the best negotiator in the crowd, or he was the smartest person in the group, or the brightest bulb on the tree, or whatever. Peter was really probably none of those things. But what makes Peter the sign and source of unity for the church is the Lord's prayer for him. Right? The Lord says, "You, Peter, I prayed for you, that when your faith is strengthened, when you've turned back, your faith will be strengthened, and you will strengthen your brethren." Now, in the Roman Catholic tradition, really, it has been this office of the papacy which has really been the source of our unity. Bishops have been divided, there have been issues in the church, but all down through the centuries, if you really look right in the Acts of the Apostles, there were divisions and problems, and it was Peter who was anointed to bring unity to the early church. There was a debate about whether a Gentile should even be baptized. Now, that's a stupid debate because the Lord had said, go and baptize everyone. But nevertheless, there was this debate in the early church, and even some of the apostles were divided. But Peter was led by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10, you can read it, to baptize Cornelius. There were objections when he did it, but Peter simply said, "What I've done, I've done. God led me to do it." And so the church concluded, well, I guess baptism is to be extended to the Gentiles. And then there was another debate. Okay, well, now that we're going to welcome Gentiles, shouldn't they have to live like Jews? You know, be circumcised and take up the whole customary law, the dietary laws, all of that. And again, a big debate. And there seems to have been some debate even among the apostles about the manner of how to answer this question. But in the end, they called a council. Peter rose. Peter made a decision. And there was a consensus. James, who seems to have been on the other side of the issue, deferred ultimately to Peter's decision and asked that a letter be issued and so on. I don't want to get into too many more details, but just to show you that one of the ways that the church has been unified and kept its unity down through these many, many centuries has been that the Lord established Peter. And it's a miracle when you think about it that the church has lasted all these many, many centuries, over 2,000 years now. The Roman Catholic Church, along with the handful of the Orthodox churches, has this distinction that we were founded by Jesus Christ. Every other Protestant church was founded by man, not by God, not by Jesus Christ. The only churches that are founded by Jesus Christ that can ever make that claim are those, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Eastern churches, that go back to the time of the apostles. Go all the way back 2,000 years in the Roman Catholic Church. It is a powerful testimony that we've lasted all these years. Many have broken away from us, but the church has remained. The church has remained. It is a miracle. So getting back to Gamaliel, this is of God. Who can stop it? If it is of man, it will not last. See? And so again, there is a remarkable miracle that we behold when we look at the church. The church is a miracle. A miracle! 2,000 years. How long would we have lasted if it was not a work of God? As I said, 20 minutes max. We've been unified. I'm not saying there haven't been divisions and things that have made tensions in the church, but ultimately they could be resolved because God was praying for this church. He said the gates of hell would never prevail. They would try, and there would be moments of testing, but the gates of hell would not prevail. And he prayed particularly for one man among them, Peter. And we trust today that the Lord is still praying for that one man among us, Peter, his successor, the Pope, who is the source and the sign of our visible unity on this planet. And so we continue to pray for the Pope as he prepares to visit us, and we ask God to keep us united as a church. Obviously, it's a work of the Lord Jesus to do that, but he wants to unite us visibly around this one man for whom he is praying. Amen.